Our readings this morning are taken from Psalm 98 and John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. Psalm 98 from the New International Version. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. And from John chapter 15, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. God of wisdom, as we hear your scriptures read and expounded, would you fill our hearts and our minds with your living word, so that our faith in Christ would grow stronger and that we would build our lives on him. Amen. I went looking for headlines this week to make this work, so I'll read you a couple of headlines I found online. It took me literally 3 seconds to find these. There's no better time for self-exploration than the present. So here are 9 tips to get you started. Another one, and weirdly 9 comes up again, 9 ways to kick off your self-discovery journey. How to find yourself, 13 expert-approved steps. And my personal favorite, how to find yourself, 15 steps with pictures. I didn't click on it, but man, did I want to know what the pictures are of. Should have found out, I guess. Beyond the regular growing up and trying to find ourselves angst that we wind up with, there's lots of reasons today people search for how to find myself. We feel lost, often trying to find a purpose in life because we live in strange times, very disconnected times, times where we're disconnected from God, from family, from friends, and sometimes from ourselves as we move around for jobs. And some of us are trying to find a new stage, a new purpose in a stage of life. Maybe we've become a new mother. Maybe we've retired lately. Maybe all the kids finally moved out and we're not sure if they're going to come back in. And should we turn it into a gym or do we just leave the bed there? But we have stages in life where we have to figure out what's next. We all do this. It all happens at different times. Many of us, Mary and I did this, take a year off school and go off and travel in the hope of some sort of self-exploratory mission, some kind of figuring out what do we want to be when we grow up, maybe. It's an important and regular part of growing up, I think. 2 weeks ago, my family went to the Blues Fest, and we had a really nice time, and my kids have never been up that late in their lives, and the guy we went to see, he came out in the crowd, and then he saw us. We were like way at the back on top because we had little kids, and we didn't want to be stuck in the crowd. And so he made his way all the way to the back to like dance with our kids, which they thought this was phenomenal. And at 10:40, he's still on stage. And he's like, okay, if any of those kids are still here, this is their last song. Come up to the front and dance with us and get on the stage. And so my kids went crazy dancing on the stage. And they were really excited. The next morning, we're having breakfast. And my 9-year-old looks at me and he's like, Dad, I've been thinking. And I thought he would say something really deep. Like, it seemed like he'd been thinking a long time about something. He says, that guy, he just sings and plays guitar and like everybody sings with him. I said, yeah, he's like, I think I might like to do that. And he says it like he's the first kid ever to think rock star is a good idea. A lot more people, though, than 9-year-olds or late teens and early 20s are going through this process of trying to discover themselves. One of the stories in COVID has been the Great Resignation. This is where people reconsider how to use that one precious life, right? If you work at Giant Tiger, no offense to Giant Tiger, but maybe you say, this isn't how I want to spend my life. And you resign and find something you do want to do. And part of why this is so culturally relevant, I think, is that we've walked away from spirituality, we've walked away from religion, but we haven't replaced it with anything that can carry the weight or the burden that these things play in our lives. So we go to blogs like they're gonna help. Sometimes we move to movies or books because they're a bit more than a blog and that might help. And I don't wanna be mean about it. I did this myself. I took a year off and went traveling. But the goal really in all of it is to say like, if I do this, then I will be content. If I do this, then I will be happy and satisfied. Like if I find myself really, truly, properly, then I can be fulfilled. And that's the promise, right? It's all about us. And Jesus says something totally different. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And what he's saying is that we want to find ourselves when in reality we need to be found by him. He refers to his disciples as friends, and that's kind of common and typical in the Greco-Roman world. But what's weird is that he says he chose his followers. Normally, the pupil, the student, chooses the teacher, right? You choose who you follow, not the other way around. If I just stood here and said, you all follow me from here on forward, you would revolt, I would assume. You should. Now, when Mary and I took a year off, we took a year off school, and she did 1 year university, and I was finishing CJEP, and I was really interested in Buddhism and the Beat Poets. I did a lot of reading around that. And so we went off to Asia for like 6 months that turned into 3 as our money ran out. But we went there trying to find answers, right? Like what to study, how do you do life, what are we going to do? And I was interested in Buddhism particularly. And we decided this wasn't really the right path for us. It wasn't really working. And we figured that we would read the Bible again and see if that helped. And so we came home, and the first thing we did was we bought Bibles. And this is the one I got because it looked the part, like it looked shiny and black, and I thought it looked very studious and proper. It's a King James Bible, and I had no idea what that meant, but I went with it. But what's cute is Mary wrote in the front, she says, may you find what you are looking for. Because she knew I was trying to find something. And so I think that's true of a lot of people. There comes this time when we're looking for something. She was sort of looking, but she was ahead of me. She had already figured it out, I think. And she was just waiting for me to get with the program. But as we went through that, Jesus, I think, was actually looking for us, right? He's calling us to be following him. And I thought I was fishing around for understanding. Like, I'm trying to sort out the world. What does it mean? What is it for? How do you live in it? And the whole time, Jesus is kind of looking towards me, right? He's slowly, gently, patiently working his way into my life. And it sounds weird, but I know that he does this, and I know that he's been calling people for a long time, through many years. On some level, if you're still trying to find yourself or find meaning in a transition moment, Jesus is there in that stage of life. He has an idea of what you're supposed to do next. He's calling you to something. And I also know the world needs you to bring whatever that something is into the world. Whatever those gifts are, the world needs them. We need to get better. Just all things included, we just need to get better at this point. And you might hear him in a voice of a loved one or a stranger. You might encounter him while out for a walk or while working at the food bank. Maybe you watch the sunset over a lake and you get clarity. You can go looking for him without even knowing you're looking for him. I went to Asia studying under Buddhist guys and found Jesus. He's the one looking for you. There's a story in the Bible. There's a father, right? The son takes the inheritance early, goes off, spends it all fast, and comes home looking for food. And you remember the story? The father's watching the horizon. He's looking for him. Every day, the dad is working, and the dad is looking at the horizon, waiting for that kid to come back. And it doesn't matter what he's done or how long it's been. That's what he's up to. And I think that's true for us, right? He's looking for us no matter how long it's been since we've been looking for him. I like that story because it has a party. I don't know about you, but the idea that the kid gets home and there's a big party is awesome. I think we all want that kind of party. But have you ever thought about like what happens when the story ends? So there's the older brother, right, and there's that whole thing. But like the next morning, what happens on the farm? Any of you ever worked on a farm? Every single day, work is to be done, right? So that kid, he has the big blowout party, and then the next day, he's feeding whatever he's feeding, right? He's mucking out stalls, he's working. Part of why people don't like faith, or why we refuse Christ's claim on us, is that when he makes that claim, he's gonna ask us to do stuff, right? We're gonna be like that son. The next day, we're gonna find ourselves working. So to be found by Christ is really great, but it also comes with something that looks a lot like responsibility. Jesus says in this passage, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." You hear that he found you not just to complete you, not just to satisfy you, not just to make you feel whole, not just to beam you up to heaven, if that's how you see things, but to make you part of the team. We're going to talk a lot more about teams next week because there's lots of fun stuff to say about that. But for now, what we might notice is that once chosen, or as the hymn Amazing Grace puts it, once found, we are to do more than to be beamed up to heaven. We're called to bear fruit. Jesus chooses us to do something, and it's something very specific. It's not that vague, although it might seem that way. In a world that will always need more love, he calls us to love. He says twice in this short passage, verse 17, the things I command you so that you will love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love than this has no one, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus calls us to a form of sacrificial love. Now, we're going to talk about teams next week, and it'll be fun, but I'll give you a little teaser for it, I guess. I don't know if you watch the Tour de France at all, but there's this guy in the Tour this year. His name is Wout van Aert, and he is an incredible, incredible cyclist. And he wins stages. He wins points. He's going to win the points total for the thing. Like, he is just really, really solid. But all day, every day, his one job is to set up his buddy to win. That's it. He might have a chance at winning it himself. But if the two of them work together, they're almost assured victory. Now, today, we know they're going to win in a couple hours. He's sacrificing for the good of the team. We're supposed to listen to other people when we're tired because we know the other person doesn't need us to fix them or anything in their life, but just to sit and listen, recognize their humanity, offer them the dignity of being heard. It's an act of love that we can do. Tired as we get, we might encourage somebody who we know needs more confidence for whatever reason today. The world is good at bringing us low. Christians could be good at bringing us back. You might be very stressed out about your portfolios these days. I know congregations sure are. And yet we're called to open our wallets. You know, the food bank this year has 25% more users in Ottawa and has received 25% less donations. Christians are called to step into gaps. Sometimes we just help strangers. And I know it can be hard. Jesus is talking about love as a verb, not as an emotion. Not just because you feel like it, but it's requiring that we give something precious for the life of another. He's telling us that when we are seeking, when we are looking, we are trying to find a way forward, a pathway, a meaning, a purpose, deep fulfillment. Just find someone to help in a costly way, and you'll find fulfillment. He doesn't say that if we do this, we're good Christians. He doesn't say that if we do this, you stamp a ticket to heaven. Don't get me wrong. He says it's because we're made for this, we're built for this, we're designed for this, and so when we do it, we are happier. And we can trust him when he says it because he does that extreme act of love that he refers to here, dying on the cross that he could have avoided out of love for you and for me and for all the people we're going to meet. But we have to be careful where we go with that. Some of you know UK historian N.T. Wright. He has a really important kind of warning around this. He says, during the First World War, this text was used again and again in sermons and lectures. It was set to music and it was sung by great choirs with one single meaning. Therefore, you young men, go off to the front line and do what you're told. If necessary, die for your country. Now, you don't want to minimize the sacrifice that they made. But Wright says it this way, I believe the self-sacrifice and dedication of those who sincerely and devoutly believed they were just doing their duty. But I also believe God judges those who uses texts like this as a convenient rhetorical trick to put moral pressure on other people. I used to be part of a church that was a regimental church. We had troop days. They would parade down a street, and it was quite the thing. People would stop on the road and look and watch. And you'd see all these young people. And I'm sure some of you will find this very cowardly of me, but I would hold my kids and I would pray that they don't have to do this. To be put in a position to shoot or be shot is a terrible, terrible position. In that sort of context, we've given ourselves two ugly options. And yet we know that what we want is the option of love, the option of peace, whenever possible. When a father is brutal with their children, it doesn't increase love and compassion. When a father is fair and warm-hearted, love and discipline can live side by side for the most part. We're called to sacrifice as people who follow one who gave his own life for the ones he loved. Sometimes, this is a pathetic example, but this is all I can come up with in the summer. Sometimes when my kids were even smaller than they are now, I would read to them at bedtime, and when I was really tired, I would just make up stories instead of reading because I didn't even have it in me to read. And my kids would tell you that I would say these nonsense stories, and then they would have to nudge me because I would literally fall asleep mid-sentence in the middle of a story. Like it'd be 6:30 even. Like it wasn't even late, and I'd just be done, right? Little acts of love add up. I know there's several people that do this, that go and they drive older folks around who can't drive anymore. They go out just to see something different, just to get a change of scenery for once. It's an act of love that people can do. If you go to a grocery store, you walk by the love bin every time. That bin full of food for people who don't have enough food. Sometimes we spend a lot of money as a group. Like here's something we do. If you look at a bus, it's accessible now. I have a brother in a wheelchair. It used to be he couldn't take the bus. There were no buses he could get his chair onto, and now almost every bus you can. That's a communal act of love, of taking care of each other. So we're called to do. AA sponsors answering the phone in the middle of the night. It's an act of love. The world needs more of it. Needs our love. Our love will abide. That means it has eternal importance. So I want to ask you a quick question as we wrap up here. When is the last time you saw an extravagant act of love? Most of us probably are coming up blank. I wonder when the last time we had the opportunity to do an extravagant act of love ourselves and we passed it up. Maybe we noticed it and just didn't do it. Maybe we didn't notice it and it never happened. I wonder if we prayed to see more opportunities, would they come our way? Sometimes these go well, sometimes less well. Elaine, who works in our office, she felt bad the other day. Driving home, there was guys, you know, asking for money on a corner, and it was very hot and very sunny. And so she found a ball cap in her car, and she gave it to the guy, and she felt really good about this. And then her husband was like, "That is my favorite hat. Why did you give away my hat?" Right? It doesn't always work out. There's a big storm here a while ago. You remember this? The townhouse I live in was awesome. Half had power and half did not. Literally half the townhouses. And it was like a party for a few days in our little village. It was like being in a campground. I had no power. So I was plugging in my little kettle to make my coffee in my neighbor's house outside the front door, you know. And there's these two ladies that became known as the coffee fairies. They made coffee every morning. They made little cakes and muffins and stuff, and they came down and they walked around our half of the complex between 8:30 and 10:30 in the morning with coffee and muffins for people. And they wouldn't knock on doors because they didn't want to bother anybody. So they literally just hovered for 2 hours with coffee so that we could all have coffee and muffins and stuff. And they did it. Our power didn't come on for 11 days. So this was like real work by these women to do this. Over COVID, people have done things like wear masks. Not always because the government told them to, but just because it's an act of love to other people sometimes. Donations to charities actually went up in a lot of places. Needs arose and people stepped up. People who don't normally give anything away started to give something away because they saw the need around them. And I pray that Christians did that as much as anybody else did. So whether you're looking for an opportunity to love someone or you might just need to feel loved that way, I know that Jesus is with you, whatever end of that spectrum you're on. The Bible promises us that Jesus was with you before you were even born and that he's been on the lookout for you ever since. And so I know that none of you are here by mistake. You're here because he wanted you to be here. One of my favorite lines in sermons is this idea that none of you thought you were going to Tim Hortons and actually showed up at St. Stephen's, right? So I'm going to end us here. We're going to pray together that we will be able to see opportunities to give thanks. And then next week, we'll talk more about the concept of team and working together. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for all the ways that we become aware of you in our lives. We give you thanks for all of the opportunities to offer great love. And Lord, we mostly give you thanks for the love that your Son gives us, his act that day on the cross, giving up his own life. Lord, help us to bear the fruit that you intend for us. Lord, open our eyes to the love we ourselves need. Lord, we pray for the world and its lack of love. We pray for peace in homes, in hearts, and in countries. We pray it all in Christ's powerful name. Amen.